Welcome to this week's edition of the Bible Expositors Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Baker, and this week we will be looking at Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 30. Now, Romans 8, 28 and 29 say, "And we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." So that's Romans 8 and verses 28 and 29. But let's look back in verse 28 at what the Bible says about what God called us to and how He called us. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." And I want to speak to you for a few minutes on that thought of purpose. Several years ago, I got a letter from an inmate in our local jail where I preach. And this inmate said, "I still don't know my purpose. Jesus saved me for something, but I don't know what for." Now, in his letter, he said that he wanted to get close to God, but he said that he couldn't seem to do it. He wanted to know his purpose in life, but he wasn't sure what it could be. And I think a lot of people are searching for the purpose of life. Knowing God's purpose gives us hope because it shows us that we're here for a reason. It shows us that our trials in life have a meaning and that nothing is in vain. Now, God's Word gives us the answer to the question, "What is my purpose?" And we find that answer in Romans 8, 28 through 30. So, first of all, we learn from verse 28 that God has a purpose for our lives. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Many people have determined their own purpose for living, but God tells us that He has a purpose for our lives that is far greater than anything we could create. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then God has a wonderful purpose for you. Notice in this verse that the Bible says that Christians are the called according to His purpose. If the President of the United States were to call you today, you can be sure that there would be a purpose behind it. When God called you to salvation, when He invited you to receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior, there was a purpose in it. God has called us according to His purpose, and God's purpose is more important than that of the president. It's more important than the purpose of a king. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with Him are called and chosen and faithful. So the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords, has called you, and His call is of paramount importance. The call of God means certain things for my life. It means, first of all, that I can know that all things work together for my good. That's what the Bible says in Romans 8, 28. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." In the next two verses, the Bible explains that there are five things that are working together for our good. "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorify." That's verses 29 and 30. So, the first thing is God's foreknowledge. The second is His predestination. The third is His calling. The fourth, justification. The fifth thing that works together with the other four for our good is glorification. All these things are necessary to accomplish God's plan for your life, and all of them work together to accomplish that plan. God's foreknowledge and predestination have to do with what God knows and determines. Justification is something that has already happened in your life if you're saved. glorification is something that will happen in the future. We will study these subjects in a moment, but first, let's answer an important question. What good is all this? All these things. Well, the good that God is working to accomplish in your life is His purpose, His will. To the Christian who says, I don't know what my purpose is in life, God tells us that He's already accomplishing His will and purpose in our lives. The Bible goes on to tell us exactly what God's purpose is. In verse 29, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. God's purpose is to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. God's purpose, in other words, is to make us like Jesus. The good thing about all that is that no matter what you go through in life, God will always work all five of these things together for your good. If nothing else is going right in your life, these things are. The Bible says, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Romans 8, 31 and 32. These things, which we're about to study, show us that God is for us. God gives them to us freely because we're with Christ. When my friends and I went to London, England in 2006, we toured Parliament. And we were treated very nicely by the British guards, even though we had to go through security several times. And that's a long story that I won't get into. But imagine how we would have been treated if we'd walked into Parliament with the Queen. Now, God gives us the royal treatment because we're with Christ. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Now, let's look at these things and study them more closely. So the first thing that we'll look at is foreknowledge. The Bible says, for whom He did foreknow. Did you know that God knew you before you were even born? God said to the prophet Jeremiah in the Old Testament, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. By the way, that's one of the reasons as a Christian why I'm opposed to abortion. I'm opposed to abortion because God knows us before we're even formed in the womb. So certainly He knows us when we're being formed in the womb and considers us persons. But the Bible says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God knew all about you before you knew about yourself. If you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, God also chose to know you in a special way. God foreknew you, or knew you beforehand. You did not know God. You may have known about Him, but you didn't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, but God knew you. And now that you're saved, God knows you as one of His children. Now the second word that we'll look at is predestinate. Those whom God knew beforehand, He also predestinated. People talk about destiny and what their destiny in life is. God has predetermined that every Christian's destiny will be to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Before you were ever born, God knew you. Before you were born, God predetermined your destiny. By the way, don't let any of this confuse you. Martin Luther, the great reformer, said this, or something like this. I'm paraphrasing, but Martin Luther said, if anybody comes to me, if a man comes to me and says, I don't know if I'm one of the elect, then Martin Luther said, this is what I tell him. First, ask, am I a sinner? And then ask, did Jesus Christ die for my sins? Did He die for me on the cross? Do I believe He did? And did he rise from the dead? Do I believe that? And then ask, do I receive him as my Savior? Do I believe in him as my Savior? And if you answer all those questions, and you're believing in Jesus Christ, then you are one of God's elect. And the same thing can apply here. Just realize that Jesus died for you on the cross, no matter who you are. Realize he rose from the dead. Believe that he wants to save you, no matter what you've done, no matter who you are. And then simply trust Jesus Christ to be your Savior. And if you'll put your faith in Jesus Christ, he promises that you have everlasting life. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world," and that includes you, because you're a part of the world, and I'm a part of the world. "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you believed in Jesus Christ, then he saved you, and the good news is that he's also predestinated you. You see, you don't look at predestination on the front side of salvation. In other words, saying, well, I don't know if I can be saved because I don't know if I'm predestinated. No, you look at predestination on the backside of salvation. First, you realize you're a sinner, you're lost, you need to be saved, you trust Jesus as your Savior, and then once you're saved, you're predestined. And that's the way you should look at it. God has a destiny for each and every Christian, and God has a destiny for you if you're born again. What does the Bible teach that our destiny is? The Bible teaches our destiny is to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's God's purpose for every believer. It is our destiny to be like Jesus Christ, to be conformed to His image. So we've looked now at foreknowledge, predestination. Now the third thing that we'll look at is calling. Calling. Now, this is talking about God's call to salvation. If you're saved today, it's not because you picked up the phone and dialed God's number. You were running from God. The Bible says, as we've already studied in the book of Romans, there is none that seeketh after God. We were running from God. Before you ever came looking for God, before I ever came looking for God, He looked for us. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." God called you to salvation, and you answered. When you did, God justified you. And now we'll look at justification, the fourth thing. Justification means that God declares me to be just as if I had always had the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Justification is more than mere forgiveness. Let's suppose that a man who's dressed in filthy, worn-out clothes and who hasn't had a bath in weeks is invited to a kind person's home to clean up. His dirty old clothes are thrown away, and he takes a bath until he's sparkling clean. He then leaves the house, clean as can be, but with no clothes. That's forgiveness, but it's not justification. Justification is when the man takes the bath, is washed perfectly clean, and is given a brand new suit of clothes to wear. When God saves us, He doesn't just take away our sins. He gives us the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He imputes that righteousness to us, puts it on our account, and then when God looks at us, clothed in Christ's righteousness, He declares us to be innocent of sin and righteous in His sight. That is justification. And now finally, glorification. This is the fifth thing. So all these things work together for our good. God foreknows us. He predestinates us. He calls us. He justifies us. And finally, glorification. It would be too bad if God gave us the righteousness of His Son, changed our lives, and then left our aging bodies to die and be forgotten. God's plan is complete salvation. This is very important. God plans complete salvation, both of the inside and the outside. Glorification has to do with the time when our bodies will be made like the body of Jesus Christ. Those who are alive will be transformed immediately when Christ returns. Those who are dead will be raised from death. Glorification is the end. It is the goal of God's purpose. We will be completely conformed to the image of His Son. Incidentally, if you look at these verses, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. That's verse 29. Foreknowledge and predestination are things that took place in the past. They took place in the past in our lives. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. That took place when you were saved. That took place in the past. And whom He called, them He also justified. That took place the moment you believed in Jesus Christ. That took place in the past. But then the Bible says, whom He justified, them He also glorified. Now, of course, as we've just studied, glorification is the time when God will make us like Jesus by transforming our bodies into the body, into the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who are in the graves will be raised from the dead. The Bible tells us the dead in Christ shall be raised first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And the Bible tells us this will happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And just quicker than the amount of time it takes you to blink, which is mighty quick, we're going to be changed into the image of Jesus Christ. Our bodies will be changed to perfect bodies. Bodies like Jesus' body, bodies that can never die, bodies that can never grow old, bodies that can never get sick, will have perfect bodies like the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's glorification. Now, it's interesting that all of these other things that have been mentioned in this list of five things took place in the past. But glorification is something that hasn't happened yet. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but your body is not perfect. It's not like the body of Jesus Christ. I mean, our bodies are aging. We have aches and pains. Our bodies get sick. And our bodies eventually die. We don't have glorified bodies yet. And yet, God speaks of glorification the same way He speaks of justification and predestination. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. That's past tense. Whom He called, them He also justified. That's past tense. Whom He justified, them He also glorified. Now look at that. That's past tense. In other words, God speaks of glorification, which has not happened yet, as if it had already happened. Why? Because when God saves you, it's as good as done. God's purpose in saving you is to make you like Jesus Christ and to conform you to the image of Jesus. And when God saves you, it's as good as complete. In other words, if you're saved, if you've been justified, then you are going to go all the way. God's going to take you all the way to heaven, and He's going to take you all the way to that day when your body is transformed into a perfect body like the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you're glorified, completely without sin, completely without death, completely without sickness. God intends to take you all the way to the end. So if you're listening to this and you're worried about, well, maybe I'll mess up, maybe I'll lose my salvation, look, God's already said you're as good as glorified. If you're justified, you're as good as glorified. So, glorification. This is the fifth thing. God intends to do a complete work in our lives as Christians, conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ. And that's God's purpose. Now, the interesting thing is that God is changing us into the image of Jesus right now. You know, my dad passed away several years ago. But I resemble my dad. He was an older man. When I originally preached this sermon and wrote this sermon, he was 76 years old. And I talked about the fact that he had straight white hair and he was partially bald. And the truth of the matter is now I'm getting white hairs. I'm 40 years old now. When I originally wrote this and originally started preaching this, I was 30 years old. But I'm 40 years old now. So 10 years later, I'm getting gray hairs. And eventually my hairs will be solid white. And I'm also balding. I've got some balding going on. And I resemble my dad somewhat physically. But where my dad and I really resembled one another was in mannerisms. Mannerisms, thoughts, ways of life. I even dressed like my dad before I got married, and my wife started trying to make me look younger. Well, my wife joked that that when we got married that she looked in my closet, and I had a closet full of khaki pants and white shirts. And that was it, she said. I don't know if that's true or not, but I did dress like an older person. And the truth of the matter is that as I grow older, I'll begin to look more and more like my dad. But certainly in mannerisms, I'm finding things even now that I do that I didn't used to do that are like the things my dad did. And so I'm gradually transforming into the image of my father. And that's what God is doing in us. God is changing us now into the image of Jesus Christ. You know, we talk about someone being a spitting image of someone else. God wants to change us gradually into the image of our Savior. It is clear what God's purpose is for our lives, that we be like Jesus. We will be perfectly like Him one day, but right now we should be progressively becoming more and more like Him. God wants us to be kind like Jesus. He wants us to do good works like Jesus. He wants us to forgive like Jesus. He wants us to do good things like Jesus did. Wasn't Stephen like Jesus when he died as the first martyr of the Christian church? As he was being pelted with rocks, the Bible says, and he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." When he had said this, he fell asleep. Acts 7:60. He was being like Jesus, who said as he hung on Calvary's cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." God often uses the things that happen in our lives, good things and bad, to conform us to the likeness of Jesus Christ. Can you learn to forgive your enemies? Can you learn to pray for those who treat you wrong? Can you show the kindness of Jesus Christ to those around you? Can you win souls like Jesus Christ did? Explain to lost sinners how they can go to heaven when they die. One day, we will be just like Jesus Christ. Until then, God is slowly conforming us to His image. There is a great purpose for your life, and it is to be like Jesus Christ in word, in deed, and in attitude. In every area of your life, God is working to make us more and more like His Son. And I need to clarify here, because I keep on saying God wants to make us just like Jesus. God wants to make us just like Jesus in the sense that we will be without sin, in the sense that we will have perfect resurrection bodies, like the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is not going to make us like Jesus in the sense of making us gods or making us deity. It's very important to say that, because there are people that teach that man can become little gods. Mormonism teaches that, and that's just not true. That is a blasphemous heresy. We will not become gods. Jesus Christ is God. He is God the Son. God is a Trinity, a triune being, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we're not going to become like Jesus as far as deity is concerned, but as far as the fact that Jesus Christ, when He rose from the dead, had a perfect resurrection body. And one day God's going to make us, glorify us. He's going to make us have a perfect resurrection body, a perfect body like the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will not sin, we will not be able to die, we won't grow sick, we won't grow old, and that is the teaching of glorification. So just wanted to clarify that. God's working, though, to make us more and more like His Son. Now, in the process of doing that, God teaches us things. Several years ago now, God taught me about praying for my enemies and the attitude that I should have towards them. And He has taught me over the years many things about areas in my life that are not what they ought to be. And when He does that, I have a choice to make, and so do you. Some Christians choose to fight against what God is doing in their lives. They walk contrary to the will of God. But fighting God, fighting with God, is like walking into a freight train. You'll get knocked down every time. Some of you listening to this today, perhaps God is trying to do a work in your life, and you always seem to be getting knocked down. You go back to your old sinful ways, and God judges you. You say, well, why do things in my life always turn out wrong? Maybe it's because you're walking against God's will. If you'll turn around and follow Christ and do what the Bible says, you will find the blessings that come as God changes your life from the inside out. You know, famous quote from the evangelist Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday used to say, oh, the people say to me, Billy, you rub the fur the wrong way. And he said, I don't. Let the cat turn around. And so that's what we need to do. If you feel like your fur is being rubbed the wrong way and that God's rubbing the fur the wrong way, maybe you need to turn around and follow God. That's the key. Jesus is trying to conform you to the image. God is conforming you to the image of Jesus Christ, and we need to turn around and go God's way. After John the Baptist was executed, King Herod, who had him put to death, heard about Jesus. And listen to what he said. This is amazing. Herod said, this is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Matthew 14:2. Now, most people would say that they would like to be more like Jesus, but here, Herod says that Jesus must be John the Baptist. What a man John must have been. Of course, John was just trying to be like Jesus Christ. In Herod's mind, there was a family resemblance. There was a likeness. When people see us, they should see Jesus in the way we live our lives. If they do, we will be fulfilling the purpose for which God has saved us. Now you know what your purpose is. And that should give you hope. No matter where your life is today, no matter what you're going through, if you're saved, one day you'll be like Jesus Christ. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren. That is, He was the first to rise from the dead with a perfect resurrection body. One day, at the resurrection of believers, our bodies will be changed into perfect human bodies that can never die, that can never get sick, that can never grow old. In Philippians 3:21, the Bible says that Jesus Christ shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. He can even subdue our bodies and transform them into a body like His glorious body. No matter where you are right now, your future is guaranteed. It is your destiny to be like Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank You for saving us. I pray for anyone listening to this that is not saved. I do pray that You will save them today. I thank You that You called me. I thank You that You have predestinated me to be conformed to the image of Your Son. I thank You, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, I thank You that you have justified me and that you have glorified me. And even though I don't see that yet, I know that it will be because you've said it will be. You've said that I'm as good as glorified. And I praise your name, Lord Jesus Christ, for that. And I just pray that you'll help us to live the life that you want us to live. Help me to do what you want me to do, to be what you want me to be. Conform me to the image of Jesus Christ, Heavenly Father. If I go the wrong way, turn me around. I pray you'll conform me to Jesus' image. I thank you for doing it. Amen. Well, thank you for listening today. I pray that this week, wherever God is working in your life, don't go against Him. Turn around, follow Jesus, go His way. It's always the best way to go God's way. He's conforming you to the image of Jesus Christ. We'll see you next week. Hope you have a great week. God bless you, and goodbye.